Because the word of God abides in him. The word of God is in him, and God has put a word in him. So we're going to receive Elder Clarence Bramley and the word of God. Let's stand, put our hands together, receive and bless our own Elder Clarence Bramley, an humble man of God, with the living word of God tonight.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Praise the Lord. There's something happening around here. I don't know, but it's a fire going on in this place. I'm telling you. Woo! The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And it's almost impossible to get close to God and not be on fire. Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. God is so good. He's so worthy to be praised. I thank God for this opportunity tonight. I thank Pastor Kayton for this opportunity to say something in the behalf of the Lord tonight. And I just want to pray, and we just want to pray for a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you right now. We thank you for the word of God tonight that is going forth. We ask that you would allow it to fall on good ground. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for we are in your presence tonight, and we thank you for allowing us to come into your presence. You are already here in Jesus' name. We rebuke any forces, the forces of darkness that would try to stop or hinder or prevent the word of God from going forth tonight. We release the anointed power of God in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We're going to look at a topic tonight, and it's a topic that's very important in the church today because it's so easy to get turned around, and this topic is called faith and the anointing. Faith and the anointing. Now, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But anytime faith is present, you know that there will also be another fellow present called fear. Fear is the substance of things not hoped for, the evidence of things seen. So tonight we want to look at faith because faith is a powerful, powerful word. The Bible says that faith works by love. We can't do anything at all without love. We must have love. And that's one of the things I like about CNC because that's our theme for CNC, love, amen? Love God, love one another, volunteer our services, and evangelize the world. So we thank God tonight for faith because faith is important. And we want to look at some verses tonight concerning faith. And we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1.
Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to also read Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 8 through 10. Verse 8 through verse 10. And it reads as follows. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, when he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker
is God.
Now, Abraham is a very important person in the Bible, and I think that he is also a biblical model for us. If we're going to have any kind of faith at all, we need to have the faith of Abraham. Amen? The faith of Abraham. Now, there are different kinds of faith, and one of the kinds of faith we want to look at is probably hundreds of kinds of faith, but we want to look at tonight faith called sense knowledge faith. Let's go to John chapter 20, St. John chapter 20. And we want to look at starting verse 19 through 20. And it reads as follows: Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, if you notice, that said, when they saw the Lord, when they saw him, they were glad. In other words, they had to see something because they had been with Jesus for a long time. But for some reason, they kept, something would slip their mind, and they wouldn't know that he was who he was or who he said he was. Let's also go to verse 24 of the same chapter, verse 24. And it says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. In other words, what he's saying is, I have to see something. Now, we used to have a saying a long time ago. It says, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. But we don't have to be from Missouri to know that Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. Jesus is alive. Now, let's read a little bit further. Verse 26 says, And after 8 days, again, this came the disciple. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, said unto him, My Lord and my God. Now he believes, amen? So he's using his senses. And sense knowledge faith is that you have to use your senses in order to believe what you see is true. You have to use your senses. Now, just because you see something doesn't necessarily mean that you believe it. If you remember when the children of Israel were going out and Moses had sent out the spies, well, they went and they saw all these great, gigantic fruits. They saw the grapes. They said, I believe the Bible said it took two men to carry the cluster of grapes. And they saw that. They saw that, but they didn't believe it. And one of the reasons they didn't believe it is because their perception of themselves were as grasshoppers. In other words, they had a grasshopper mentality. They had a grasshopper mentality. They saw themselves as something small. And sometimes we can be in a position to where we don't believe God. We don't always believe what he says because we have to see something. We've got to see something. We've got to see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it. But that's not the kind of faith that we should have tonight. And if we look at Romans chapter 4, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at what the man called Abraham. Romans chapter 4, and let's look at verse number 13. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 4 reads as follows. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Let's skip down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is verse 17. Before him whom he believeth, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was yet, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to deliver. Now, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. We call that the God kind of faith. That's the God kind of faith, the kind of faith that we can believe without seeing. We don't have to see something to believe it, because we know. It's just something that we know in our heart, in our spirit. We know that when we believe God, when God says something, I believe it. It doesn't have to be settled. I believe what God said. Amen? I believe what the Lord says. And that's the God kind of faith, and that's the kind of faith that we are working for. We are trying to get there right now. And one of the ways that we do that is our faith has to be built up. Our faith has to be built up. I believe it's in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. Let's go there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. And it reads as follows. If you have your Bibles, just follow along with us, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So when we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then the Bible says that we receive a measure of faith. So then everybody that gets saved, everybody that accepts Jesus, you have a little bit of faith. There's a measure of faith. And the thing that we have to do is build on our faith. We have to do things that build our faith. We have to try our faith. Our faith should always be on trial. Should always be on trial. We should always be tested, not afraid to step out and step out in faith. Amen. Now, not all men have faith. Not all men have faith. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And let's look at verse number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And it reads as follows. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. So all men don't have faith. Wicked men, they don't have faith. One of the things that we do is that faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has eyes. Faith can see. Faith has eyes.
And it takes vision. It takes spiritual vision to be able to have faith. We've got to be able to see, not see in this natural realm, but we have to be able to see in the supernatural realm. And I believe that Abraham had the kind of faith that he could envision something, he could see something. When he offered up his son Isaac on the altar, I believe that Abraham had a prophetic vision, that he saw that what he was doing was a prophetic example of what God was going to do with his own son, Jesus Christ. I believe he saw that. When he offered up Isaac on the altar, and as you know the story, he laid him down on the altar and he drew his hand back to kill him. And the angel called from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham, hold your hand. Don't kill him. I know now that you believe God. I know that you do." But see, there was an angel that stopped him from killing his son Isaac. But God had made a covenant with Abraham. And in a covenant, whatever you do, whatever I do for you, you've got to be willing to do the same thing for me. So God had to know that he would offer up his son, and he stopped him. He's kept him from killing him because he knew that Jesus was going to go on the cross and there would be nobody to stop him. Amen. There would be nobody to tell him to hold it. No, Jesus had to give his life for us. Amen. He did. Amen. He had to give his life for us. And because he did it because he loved us so much. He loved us so much. Now, Abraham saw this. Abraham could see this. He had vision. Abraham was the kind of man that when God told him to do something, he did it. He said, "Leave your family, leave your country, your kinsmen, and go to a place I'll tell you of." And Abraham left. He left. He trusted God, amen. He trusted God. He also told him to cast out the bondwoman's son. He cast him out. Amen. Because Abraham trusted God. He believed God. He believed what God said. We've got to believe what God says, amen. Amen. When the devil tell you you can't, you say, "God said I can." Praise God. Sometimes you got to tell the devil to shut up. Amen. Tell him to shut up. Praise God. I had to talk to him this afternoon. I told him to shut up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You got to get tough with the devil sometimes. Amen. Take him to Bible school. Get the Bible and sit down and read to him. Say, "Thus said the Lord." Amen. "I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loved me. I'm not the head, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. Don't tell me. Talk to me." Amen. The devil don't have the kind of power that we think he has. Amen. All the power that the devil has is what we give him. Amen. He's a defeated foe. Praise God. He's a defeated foe. And you know, he's not as smart as he thinks he is either. Amen. You remember when Jesus said, Jesus came to, he was talking to the church. He went in the synagogue and he talked about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. And after he had preached his sermon, there was a man that had a demonic spirit. And Jesus came into town and came out, and this demoniac saw him. And he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? I know who you are. You're the Son of God." But see, he didn't know who Jesus was, because Jesus wasn't the Son of God then. He was the Son of Man. Amen. He was born of a woman. Amen. So he was a Son of Man. He was the Son of Man, and the devil didn't know. See, the devil got confused. He was lost because he didn't understand the virgin birth. Amen. He didn't understand the virgin birth. Praise God. See, God, when he created woman, he created what they call a placenta. And the placenta, I don't know that much about a medical field, but the placenta separates the mother's blood from the baby's blood. So when Jesus spoke the word and he put the word in Mary, the baby that was in Mary was the word, but the blood belonged to God. Amen. Huh? The blood belonged to God. So he wasn't a human being. He retained his divine attributes, but he was a God and man. Amen? Amen. So the devil thought he didn't have legal authority to cast him out, but he did. So he said, shut your mouth and come out of him. That's what you got to do. You got to tell the devil to shut up sometimes. Amen. And he said, and the demon came out. He came out. He didn't understand what happened. He didn't know. He said, wait a minute. I didn't think he could do that. He's the Son of God. It's not time for us to be tormented yet. But there is a time. There's a time coming. You know, the thing that's funny to me is that the devil know who Jesus is, but all the religious people didn't. The religious people didn't know who he was, but the devils knew. Does that tell you something about religion? Amen. We want to get rid of religion, don't we? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. No religion. Religion is detrimental to the Christian life. Amen. We want to talk a little bit about the different levels of faith. Let's look at the different levels of faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And let's look at verse number 20. Verse number 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And we'll read a couple of verses here. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, Jairus had the kind of faith that he needed Jesus to come to his house. Some of us might have that kind of faith. We need Jesus to come to us, okay? We need Jesus to come to us. Jairus needed Jesus to come to his house to lay hands on his little daughter. Now, in verse 24, it says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, this woman's level of faith was, she didn't need Jesus to come to her house. She came to Jesus. And she said, you know, all I need, praise God, all I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment. All I need to do is just touch his garment, and I can be made whole. See, she had trusted in the legal system. She had trusted in the lawyer. The law, actually, the Bible said, I think in history it said, she broke 12 laws by leaving her house and going out to be with Jesus. She broke laws. But see, sometimes you got to break tradition. Praise God. You got to break tradition. You got to get out of the house sometimes. Amen. So there were some people that came here, and that one of the things that was they were impressed about with the church on the North Coast was that it's not a traditional church. I mean, you got a sofa sitting in the auditorium here. You know what I'm saying? That's good. That's good. That's good. Amen. But all she needed was Jesus to touch. So her level of faith was, all I need to do is just touch his clothes. Amen. And she touched his clothes, and she was made whole. Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Her faith made her whole. Didn't say, I made you whole. It says, your faith made you whole. Now, that's a second level of faith, but there's a level of faith that God wants us to get to. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is where we want to be. Matthew chapter 8. So let's look at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and it reads as follows. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. In other words, you don't have to come to my house. Praise God. That's the kind of faith we want. You don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. See, we got to speak more things. We got to start talking about that. We got to exercise our faith through our voice, because our faith comes from our mouth. Amen. We got to speak the word. Praise God. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. We got to speak more. We got to talk more. Amen. Amen. We got to start talking this thing. There's something happening around here. I don't know if you all feel it or not. There's something happening in church on the North Coast. Amen. And I'm glad to be a part of it. Praise God. You know, I feel a fire in this place. Praise God. You know, we don't have to sit still. Praise God. We can scream and holler and jump and shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. When you get around that fire, man, something happens to you. When you get around the fire, something happens to it. Praise God. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Faith and the anointing. Now, we have to have faith, because faith brings on, or faith enhances the anointing. As a matter of fact, anything that we do in the Bible, we've got to have faith to do that. Amen. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith in the blood. We need faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith is faith that causes things to happen. Now, let's look at something concerning the anointing. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. And chapter number 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And let's look at verse number 27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it reads as follows, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I've heard the statement, burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Amen. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It is also the power of God on human flesh to do what only God can do. The power of God on human flesh to do what only God can do. The anointing. Now, with this anointing, if we look at Revelation chapter 1, we're going to come back to Isaiah. Revelation chapter number 1, let's look at verse number 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, some people say that the seven spirits are actually the seven anointings of God, or seven anointings, seven facets of the anointing, seven aspects of the anointing. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2. And it reads as follows. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, if we count those, there are seven of those there. And it's, someone says it represents the seven aspects of the anointing of God. Now, you remember when Jesus came on the scene in Luke chapter 4. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus had been on the Mount of Temptation. The devil had been tempting him. And he had overcome the temptation. And Luke chapter 4 and starting at verse number 15. Let's start at verse 15. Luke chapter 4, verse 15. Luke 4, 15, and it reads as follows. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if you notice that one of those anointings, the Spirit of the Lord was present on Jesus at this particular time. When Peter was preaching over in Acts chapter number 10, Acts chapter 10, Acts 10 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 38. And it reads as follows. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So you see that God was anointed. The Bible says God was anointed. Jesus was anointed. God anointed him. And he had this anointing before he did anything. So in other words, before he got ready to preach, he had to be anointed. He did no miracles before then, but once he had the anointing of God, he came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil was in trouble, wasn't he? Amen. He had that anointing. The anointing is powerful. We need the anointing in our lives. And because if we have faith and we exercise faith with the anointing of God, we are unstoppable. We're unstoppable. We can push back the forces of darkness because we are anointed, powerful people, men and women of God. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm trying not to holler, but I get excited. Woo! You know, I don't want to raise, I'll put the mic down a little bit maybe. But I get excited because, you know, we have something that we haven't taken hold to yet. We don't know what we have. We don't understand what we have. We are powerful, anointed people of God, and we let the devil push us all over the place, and I'm sick of the devil. Amen. It's time for us to stand up and stand tall. Amen. We are conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that loved us. Amen. We don't have to be lukewarm anymore.
Praise God. We don't want a lukewarm church, do we? God's not looking for lukewarm people, is he? He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we need this anointing. And we have the anointing. The anointing is all over this place. You can feel it when you walk in the door. Amen. Our pastor's anointed. Amen. Praise God. Our associate pastor is anointed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. The anointing, the awesome power of God. Now let's see what this anointing can do for us. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter 1. Amen. Daniel chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 17. Now, this is the account of the Hebrew children. I'll say Hebrew children. They were in captivity. They were in captivity in Babylon. But God has set them apart. He has set them apart from everybody that was there. In verse 17, it says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now look what God did for them. He gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom in all learning, in all understanding of visions and dreams. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 20. And it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Now, how many times better were they? 10 times better. This is what the anointing can do for us. Makes us 10 times better. The devil doesn't stand a chance, does he? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to one more place here. 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. This anointing is awesome. 2 Kings chapter 13. And let's look at verse number 20. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. We know that Elijah was a prophet and Elisha was a servant to Elijah. And he desired to have the anointing that Elijah had. And Elijah said to him, if you can see me when I'm taken up, then you can have what I have. He wanted a double portion of the anointing that Elijah had. Now, when you look in the Bible, you'll see that I believe approximately, this is not exact, approximately, Elijah performed 16 miracles in his lifetime, but Elijah performed 32 miracles in his lifetime. Actually, it was 33, and this is why it happened. Verse number 20, and it reads as follows, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Verse 21. And it came to pass as they were burying the man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, praise God, and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Elisha was dead, but his bones were still in the grave. Amen.
And the man that they put in there was graveyard dead. But when he went down in the grave and he touched the bones of Elijah, the anointing was so powerful, the Bible said he stood up on his feet. Praise God. That's the kind of anointing that we want in our life. Amen. We want the anointing that's so powerful in our life, that's so powerful in our life, that when somebody touch us, when they come around us, they can feel the anointing that's on us. Amen. Elisha got his anointing from Elijah. Praise God. So the anointing was transferred from him to Elisha. We can get Pastor Kansas anointing, y'all. Amen. Amen. We just get close to Pastor, praise God. We get that anointing. That anointing can be transferred, praise God. The anointing was so powerful, the man stood up on his feet. Hallelujah. That's the kind of anointing that we want tonight. Amen. Praise God. I thank God tonight for this opportunity to talk with you. We need each other. I want you to know that. We need each other. We need more love in the church, in the body of Christ. And we need unity in the body of Christ. It's not time to put each other down. Someone said that the only time you should look down on a man is when you're reaching down to pick him up. Amen. We need each other. We need to show each other love, the love. I'm not saying that that's not happening. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's not happening. But we need each other to encourage each other. I want to share a story with you. I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but they had the Olympics here in the United States. And I have a little cousin that he's autistic, and when they came through, you know how they light the torch and they go from city to city? Well, he was chosen to carry the torch for the city of Cleveland, and he was so elated about carrying his torch. As a matter of fact, the torch that he carried is the same torch that Muhammad Ali had when he lit the fire for the Olympics. It's the same torch. But the story I want to tell you is about a Special Olympics that was held. And there were kids there that they had different physical challenges. Some could barely walk. Some were crippled. They could barely walk. But they had this Special Olympics for them. And they were entering the kids in the 50-meter dash. And the parents were in the stands, and they were all excited because their kids were getting an opportunity to participate in the Special Olympics. And they lined the kids up. There were about 8 kids there. And they lined the kids up on the set mark. But there was one little boy. His name was Chucky. Chuck told me to make sure to mention his name. And there was one little boy there that we'll call him Chucky. And he was really a special child. He barely could walk, but he wanted so desperately to enter into the Special Olympics. And his parents allowed him to do that. And they got down on the finish line, on the starting line. And the starter held the gun up in his hand. Ready, set, go. Fire the gun. And all the kids took off running. And some were really challenged to run. And little Chucky was, he barely could move his legs, but he was trying so hard. And the parents were screaming and hollering, yay, come on, come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And about 10 meters out, little Chucky fell down. And he lay on the ground, and he started to cry. And he started to cry, and he was hitting the ground because he couldn't get up.
But the kids kept running. The other kids kept running. They're running. But something happened because they started to look back, you know, as they were running. And the parents were screaming for their kids to come. But little Chucky's mother and father were devastated. Their son was laying on the track. And he was crying. And all of a sudden, there was a hush that came over the whole stadium. One by one, all of the kids in the race were looking back. They started to stop. And the parents said, no, no, don't stop. Keep going, keep going, keep going. But they stopped. And one by one, they all went back. They started going back. And they all went back to little Chucky, and they picked him up off the ground. They locked arms with each other, and they all crossed the finish line together. I'm saying to you tonight that we need to lock arms. We need to lock arms. Paul compared this life to a race. It's not a 50-meter dash. It's a marathon. And we need to lock arms with each other. There are some of us that are stronger than others. And that's not to say that you're better than anybody or anything like that, but there's some of us that have experienced more problems and more trials and more situations than some of the other ones have. There are some here that are still babies. You're trying to find your way. You don't know where you are yet. There are some here that have been hurt. You've been hurt. You've been hurted at other places, and you've been wounded, and you're trying to recover. Someone said the church is like a hospital. I say to you tonight that we can cross the finish line together if we hold one another up. We have to care about each other. Amen. There are people that are cheering us on right now. The Bible says that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. If I use my imagination, I can see Abraham right now say, come on, you can make it. I know you can make it. There's someone here that you may have been sick for a long time. And you don't, and it seems like God has forgotten about you. But I have a witness that from an old woman that had an issue of blood, and she had that issue for 12 long years. And God did not let her down. He came to see about it. It took 12 years to come, but he came and delivered her from her sickness. There's somebody here that maybe you think that you've been waiting for something. God has promised you something, and it's taken so long to get here. But I see another witness in my imagination. I see another man that's standing up there and he's cheering you on. He's saying, God told me to build a ship, and it took 120 years for him to get the plans made, for him to fulfill his promise. So don't give up. Don't give up. I'm saying to you today, don't give up. Praise the Lord. We have an awesome, powerful, powerful God. He can do anything. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. All we have to do is trust him. I say to you tonight, put your trust in Jesus. I pray tonight that God would give you a new spirit tonight. I pray that he would give you an anointing in your life to help you to be an overcomer in every situation of your life. I pray that when situations come upon you, that you would not speak the situation, you will speak the word of God. Amen. Praise God. I know that God, he's waiting. He wants to hear from us. I pray that tonight that you would surrender to God on a deeper level. A deeper level. A deeper trust in him. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. You're not going to quit anyway, but the only way you can lose is quit, because somebody said, I read in the Bible that we win. We win. Amen. The prize is waiting for us. Hallelujah. There are mansions in the sky waiting for us right now. I know there is. I thank you tonight. I thank the Lord tonight. I just thank him for what he's doing for the body of Christ. There's an army being raised up. I don't know if you know that, but there's an army being raised up. God is calling people together. He's calling warriors together. He is. He's calling warriors together tonight. See, you've already come out of the wilderness. You've already come out of Egypt, amen. It's time for us to possess the promised land. Amen. It's time for us to possess the promised land. That was one of the things the devil tried to do when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. He wanted them to focus so much on coming out of Egypt that they didn't focus on the promised land. But we have a promised land waiting for us tonight. Amen. I thank God for CNC. I thank God for Church on the North Coast. I do. I thank God for Church on the North Coast. The learning, the love, I probably learned more than I've ever known before. And I thank God for my learning. I thank God. The more I learned, it seems like the more I didn't know. It's like, where was all this knowledge at when I really needed it? But I do need it now. I need it now. Amen. I praise God for you tonight. If there's anyone here tonight, first of all, if you've never been to Church on the North Coast before, I'd like to welcome you tonight. We're so glad you're here. If there's anyone here, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I encourage you tonight to know him, to know him as your Lord and Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He gave his life for you and me. He gave us victory when we were in defeat. If there's someone here tonight that you have a pain in your body, Jesus is a healer. Amen. The Bible says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. We are healed. Amen. You don't have to be sick. Sickness is of the devil. If it was from God, he wouldn't be rebuking it. Amen. Amen. So I say to you tonight, if you have an opportunity to give your life to Christ, please do that. Please do that tonight. Life is not promised to us. We don't know. We may walk out the door tonight and not be on this side any longer. God is a righteous God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. I thank God tonight. The Bible says in everything, give thanks. We want to ask if it's okay if our elders would come tonight. So the elders would come. Such a wonderful God. He's such an awesome God. Amen. If you need prayer, we'll pray with you. He's good. He's worthy to be praised. I heard this song one time. It says, Lord, as I come into your presence,
I lose sight of me. Thank you for being in this place where there's only me and thee. I no longer seek your power, only your presence, Lord. Always and always, always with thee, I pray. Amen. Amen. Does anyone else desire to come tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing in this place tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your glory, your glory, Father, your glory, your glory, your glory in this place tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Your word pours from. Everybody in this place, stretch forth your hands to Him. Everybody press in right now. Oh, press in to Him like never before. Oh, glory be to God, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, He's given us the invitation to come on in, to come all the way into His presence, to come all the way into the blessings of God. He's withholding nothing to you. He withholds nothing to them that walk uprightly. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give you that job. He wants to give you that miracle. He wants to give you that healing right now. He wants to give that breakthrough. Oh, in the name of Jesus, He wants to give direction and wisdom in this place. Oh, just begin to grab a hold of the hem of His garment. Grab hold of Him tonight in prayer. Lock in on Him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Abba, Father, we thank You, Lord. You are our Father. You are our King, Lord God. You have, oh God, given us the measure of faith, dear Lord. We're not lacking in strength or anointing, Father God. Right now, dear Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Some of you are asking yourselves, you know, that faith He was talking about. I know it's possible, but it doesn't seem like it's tangible to me. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would like to pray for you. Just come out into the aisles. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I invite you to come into another level of the anointing, another level of God's presence, another level of His glory. It's available to you as His child. Amen. Glory be to God. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory be to God, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Oh, we praise You, dear God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Father God, right now. Once again, if you've not received the baptism in the Spirit, this is your opportunity. This is a time. This is your chance. Oh, glory. We thank You, Jesus. Continue to worship Him.